I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
All right, welcome back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT over at my favorite libertarian site, Reason.com. J.D. Tuccilli has a great piece out. FBI's unsavory history casts shadow over the debate about political meddling. J.D., thanks for coming on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
It was funny. I was laughing the other day at some people in the media who were suddenly now the biggest defenders of the FBI, and they were just so shocked and outraged and appalled that people could be suggesting that the FBI might be engaging in politics here.
Well, it's ridiculous. I think what we're seeing in D.C. now, this so-called debate between lawmakers over the FBI, there's a lot of kabuki theater. They're really more interested in going back and forth at each other. First, there's no doubt at all that the FBI has a horrible history of domestic surveillance and of using information that it extracts for blackmailing people, for pulling political shenanigans, like trying to undermine political campaigns and political figures. It even at one point tried to blackmail Martin Luther King and convince him to kill himself with an anonymous letter containing embarrassing details.
Wow.
This is a horrible history. I mean, the FBI is known to have done this. It came up through the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s, only after private individuals, activists, stole embarrassing documents from the FBI, released them to the press, and the press forced Congress to hold hearings, and the hearings revealed the fact that through what was called COINTEL, the COINTEL process, for decades the FBI had engaged in these shenanigans. To a lesser extent, they were caught doing similar stuff in the 1980s and then again in the 2000s. But the FBI has a long history of this.
And so this memo that's being circulated about, this FISA memo, I mean, I'm of the opinion we should be able to see it because I think we should have access to the kind of knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes here. But what's your guess on the odds that we'll actually get to see this thing, or it will be so redacted we won't even be able to understand it?
Well, it's going to be redacted. It's going to be spun. But here's another part. Here's the flip side of that kabuki theater, is that this is the FISA memo. That refers to the Foreign Intelligence Security Act, which extended specific surveillance powers to agencies, including the FBI. And powers under the FISA Act that Republican members of Congress of the Intelligence Committee claim were abused by the FBI. But these are the same members. Republicans overwhelmingly voted to not just extend, but to expand FISA powers for the FBI just last week.
Yeah, it's amazing. I banged my head against the wall trying to understand it. And then the president signs it into law.
And boasts about it. Yeah, the whole signing statement talks about it gives the FBI the tools it needs. Well, would those be the tools that you say were abused against your own campaign just a year and a half ago? There's a real kind of play-acting element to all of this between the Republicans and the Democrats, because the Democrats come off as either they're ignorant of or they actually approve of the FBI's long history of domestic surveillance and political shenanigans. And the Republicans are complaining about the abuse of powers they just voted to extend and expand. None of this makes any sense, and none of this makes D.C. come off looking very good or very honest or very well-informed.
J.D. Tuccilli is here. His piece, The FBI's Unsavory History, casts shadow over the debate about political meddling. It's at Reason.com. I'll post a link to it. Yeah, you're right. I love how you start the piece, too. You talk about how you quote from a director saying, the FBI has placed more emphasis on domestic dissent than on organized crime. The FBI has placed more emphasis on domestic dissent than on organized crime, and according to some, let its efforts against foreign spies suffer because of the amount of time spent checking up on American protest groups. That was said by members of Congress. To the contrary, the FBI director said FBI employees in these programs had acted in good faith and within the bounds of what was expected of them by the president, the attorney general, Congress, and I believe a majority of the American people. That exchange was from 1976.
That's correct. So, and we're hearing, I mean, and the reason that you have to be told what year it is it sounds exactly like the discussion we're having right now. The same language is being used at this point because the FBI has this long and continuing history of engaging in these kind of shenanigans. And again, I point out they were caught only when activists raided an FBI office in Philadelphia, actually, broke into the place, burgled it, stole the documents and released them to the press. Something that has real parallels to what Edward Snowden did decades later, you know, recently revealing the extent of domestic surveillance going on now. So back then, activists told us that we were being spied on and pushed around by our government. Now another activist, you know, just a few years ago, told us the same thing. And we're arguing still over whether the FBI can be trusted with these powers. And our lawmakers, while debating this, are then voting to expand those powers of domestic surveillance. The one thing then we can be guaranteed of, to look at history, is that the FBI is engaging in domestic surveillance, will continue to engage in domestic surveillance, and will continue to abuse those powers to spy on people and also to use that information that it gathers in unsavory ways.
And the hypocrisy of the media here, how you point out, J.D., the Washington Post, which once reported on the FBI's long-lasting campaign of disruption and dirty tricks against those deemed subversive, now the editorial board of the Washington Post says the nation is being protected by a thin line of principled public servants who refuse to bend to the Trump administration and congressional Republicans campaign to attack and cajole the FBI into serving political rather than public interests.
To contrast what the Washington Post says now to what it was reporting back in the 1970s is really very impressive, especially since the Washington Post was one of the publications that broke the Pentagon Papers, you know, in a movie that's in the theaters right now as we're talking. Now, does the Washington Post believe that the agency, the Bureau, has reformed in the intervening decades? If so, they don't say so. It would make sense for them to reference the earlier reporting, the earlier abuses that they helped to expose, and to say, okay, but this is not the same Bureau now. They can make that argument, and then it would make more sense for them to go forward rather than simply ignoring the past history, especially since there are documented cases of abuses in the 1980s and the 2000s, as I referenced, that the Department of Justice Inspector General reported on in 2010. So there's an ongoing history. The Washington Post just ignores that, although, to give it credit, the Washington Post no longer seems to be a fan of transparency. Their editorial board went after Edward Snowden also. So maybe the paper that's changed, not the FBI.
J.D. Tuccilli, thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, we'll post a link to your piece. I think it's worth reading by everybody. They should take a look at it. FBI's Unsavory History casts shadow over the debate about political meddling. Thanks, J.D.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.